Open your Bibles to 1 Chronicles this morning, chapter 29 in the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles, chapter 29. We're going to be talking about being a living sacrifice this morning. You know, the Bible tells us, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, be a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. Paul told us that in the New Testament. But we're going to look at a man today that was truly a living sacrifice and how he was rewarded by God. The man most admired by the American public over the last four decades is evangelist Billy Graham. For 40 years, the Gallup organization has polled American adults to determine the 10 men they most admire. And Graham has been named to the list of astounding 32 times. Behind Graham on the list are Dwight Eisenhower and Winston Churchill. There is much to admire about all three of these men, but there is a man that stands out even more than any of these. That's King David of Israel. He was a man after God's own heart. David was a man that God chose to be king over all of his brothers, all of all the people he could have chose. He chose King David. David stands out as a pivotal person in human history, a man of passion, bright victory, and bitter failure. He reminds us across thousands of years of the influence of leadership and sacrifice in a cause of great worth. At a critical moment in history of God's people, David came forward to make sacrificial gift that led many others to do the same. There are many timid souls who wait for just the right moment before taking the step of sacrifice. For them, the temperature has to be just right, the humidity at perfect percentage, the barometric pressure just right. If all is well, such bland leaders, the bland will move forward. But then there are those heroic souls who recognize the significance of the moment, the window of opportunity, and then the undeniable, unrepeatable challenge before them. They don't wait for perfection. In sacrifice, they prefer action. In our Christian faith, we're all called upon to make sacrifices, and the sacrifices we make stands as evidence of our faith in God and the task He is calling us to. Today, I want us to get a better grasp of just that by looking at what God did through David and the people of Israel. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, if you'll stand with me, we're going to read verses 1 through 5. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom God alone hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now, I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold, for the things that to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and the wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones, and of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones and marvel stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set mine affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, and of the gold of Ophrah, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the house withal, the gold of things of gold, and silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artifacts. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word this morning and the opportunity we have to see how David sacrificed so much of his life for the kingdom of God and for the building of your tabernacle. Lord, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for the abundance of graces you've given us in our lives, how you've saved us from our sins, and how you've set us up to be living sacrifices for you this morning. We praise you and we glorify you, for you alone are worthy of all the praise we can give. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
We want to look at three things that sacrifice begins with and sacrifice does in our life. Number one, sacrifice begins with a vision and a task. When King David had conquered his enemies, secured his borders, and brought prosperity to his people, his mind turned to the building of the house of God. He was not allowed to build this kingdom and this house of God. However, David had sinned against God. David was a man of war, so he was not allowed to build this. Solomon, his son, was the one that built this because David had been disqualified by God to build it. Why? Because he was a sinner. Because he had committed sin with Bathsheba. He had had her husband killed, and he had committed all kinds of sin against his God. So he was not allowed to build this, but he sacrificed all of his riches to build it. He sacrificed everything he had so that Solomon could build the house of God. I want you to think about how much he sacrificed. When King David, after he conquered all of his enemies, nothing half-hearted characterized this great king. By the providence of God, David could not build the temple because he was a man of war. So the mantle fell on his son Solomon. Yet David still was given the vision to make provision for the temple of God. In 1 Chronicles 29, verse 1, I want you to look. Furthermore, David, the king, said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. David realized that God wanted a house built for him. He realized that God wanted a tabernacle that people could go in and worship God and could pay the respects to the God that had delivered them from Egypt, that had delivered them from all of their enemies. He realized that God wanted this tabernacle built, but he could not build it. So God had chosen Solomon to build this tabernacle or this house of God. Listen, David's motives were pure. What was to be sacrificed was to be given, not for man, but for the Lord God himself. How do we weigh the motive of sacrifice necessary for our church and the kingdom? It isn't to honor an individual or a group of individuals, nor do we challenge God makes a statement about our church culturally, socially, or economically. There emerges only one appropriate motive for the sacrificial giving required for us in this hour, the worship of Almighty God, The same was true for David. David wanted to worship God in this temple. He wanted to worship God in this house. Though he was not able to build it, he wanted to worship God. David's main goal, even though he was a sinner, God had forgiven him. Listen, the prophet came to David and told David this: God has forgiven you for all of your sins, but the sword will never leave your house. He reminded David that he would not be able to build the tabernacle for God, but yet David sacrificed all he had so that the house could be built. Listen, our willingness to sacrifice to God, the name of God, is honored. The voices of our youth ringing in the halls and the steps of the aged saints walking through our facilities comes from a purity of vision that wishes to honor God and God alone. Now, it's one thing to have a vision. It's another to have a vision and a task. We must make provision for that vision. Along with the vision is the task of paying for the vision God has given to us. Because God and David wanted the vision to be a reality, he made regular planned gifts to the vision. Look in verse 2. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and the wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones, and the divers colors, and all manners of precious stones, and the marble stones in abundance. Now, many church members of our church have been faithful in giving weekly gifts to support the work of Christ in this church. But David went a step further. At a time of unprecedented, unparalleled need, he went above and beyond what he had given before. Notice in verse 3, moreover, because I have set my affections to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. David's gift was personal. David's gift was in addition to his regular giving. In fact, he was willing to risk his material well-being in the future for the work of God's kingdom in the present. The extent to which we're willing to risk our material well-being is a true measure of Christian discipleship. David gave over and above what he regularly gave because it was a special time of opportunity for God and his people. In the face of a once-in-a-lifetime challenge, a great giver became an even greater giver. David gave over and above what he could to see that the work of the house of God could be accomplished. David gave over and above what he normally gave so that the house of God could be built. What would have happened if David hadn't gave all he gave? The house of God probably would have not been built. David, in his will to God, in his desire to see the house built, he gave all of the gold, all of the silver, all of the precious stones, all that they needed to build the temple, to build the tabernacle for God. David realized that they needed what he could give, so he gave over an abundance of what he normally would give. Number 2, sacrifice continues with a response. By definition, a leader is a leader because people follow him. There's an old proverb about leadership that says this: He who leadeth and no one followeth is only taking a walk. David gave a leadership gift to the work of God that sounds astounding in its quantities. In 1 Chronicles 29, verse 4, and the first part of verse 5, even 3,000 talents of gold of the gold of Ophrah and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses withal. The gold for things of gold and the silver for things of silver and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artifactors. The present standards of measurement, this is about 17,280 billion dollars in precious materials. Can you imagine that? 17,280 billion dollars in precious materials that David gave to the house of God. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine how much that was? Can you imagine how much David sacrificed so the house of God could be built? David was a man of God, a man after God's own heart, and he realized this had to be built. So what did he do? He gave over an abundance of what he had gave. The gift of the leader stirred the hearts of the followers. At the conclusion of his sacrificial giving, David gave this challenge in the last part of verse 5. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Listen, David realized that what he gave wouldn't be enough. Even though it was trillions of dollars worth of metals, trillions of dollars worth of gold, trillions of dollars worth of silver, he realized it wouldn't be enough. He realized the people still needed to give more. The people needed to give of their time, their talents. The people needed to build it. Listen, they didn't have a crew of architects to design a building and a crew of workmen to build a building like we have today. You know, when they get ready to build a new church, you hire an architect to come out there and design the building. And then you have him to hire a crew or a construction company to go out there and to construct the building. They didn't have that. All they had was each person willing to give of their sacrificial time, their sacrificial talents. They had men that were designed to be stone layers by God, men to be architects that could construct and know how the building should be built. They had been empowered by God to do all these things, but yet they had to sacrifice their time to give to God. They had to sacrifice everything they had so that they could get the house of God built. There was a solidarity in giving that resonated throughout the congregation of God's people. Few are the churches that can depend on the giving of a few affluent members. When the church faces a unique challenge, the call is for every member of every standing and lifestyle of the congregation to come forward. Each member plays an instrument in the orchestra of what God is doing here. Every one of us holds one piece of the mosaic of God's activity in this palace. In the Apollo lunar travel program, the space voyager used the gravitational pull of Earth and the Moon to create a slingshot effect. The astronauts were able to return home because of the lesser gravity of the Moon was the same proportionate of the greater gravity of the Earth at just the moment it was needed. Our giving to God is like that. Some may be able to give a larger amount, and some may be able to give a smaller amount, yet giving the same proportionate in the giving that pleases God. It is not equal gifts, but equal sacrifice that matters. Some people are more wealthy than others. Some people can give a little more than others. Some people may be able to give a lot, but it is not about how much you give. It's the sacrifice that you give to God. It's all about sacrifice. It's about what we can sacrifice to the work of God for the furtherance of God's children and God's people in the house of God. Thirdly, sacrifice results in praise. Can there be praise in the congregation like the praise that comes after the times of sacrificial giving? In the aftermath of David's call to sacrifice, everybody in the assembly had given. The followers had given as well as the leaders. The result was an overwhelming expression of gratitude towards God on the part of the entire assembly of God's people. They praised God for His eternity, for His sovereignty, for His ownership, and for His leadership. Remember that this joyous outburst of praise followed the congregational giving with sacrificial intent. Look in verses 10 and 11. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, "Blessed be the Lord, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is thy kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all." David realized he needed to praise God. He led the congregation in praise. He realized that God had provided him all of this wealth to give to the building of the temple. He realized that God had blessed all the people so that they could give of their time and their talents and everything they had so the temple of God could be built. Listen, my friend, this was very important in the days that David lived. He was getting prepared for his son Solomon to build the temple. But he knew Solomon did not have the pull and the experience because he was a young child. He knew Solomon would not be able to give everything that needed to be given. So what did David do? David took everything he had, $17 trillion worth of gold and silver and precious stones and all of these wood and all of these things that needed to be build the temple. David willingly sacrificed all he had for the kingdom of God. He sacrificed everything he could give to the house of God. After a congregational act of sacrifice, the attention didn't rest on the congregation, but rather on an overwhelming consciousness of God. Praise isn't cheap. It resounds more loudly and echoes with more authenticity and carries further when it rings with the reality of sacrificial giving. When religious bumper sticker became prevalent in the 70s, one of the most frequent stated, "Honk if you love Jesus." Do you remember sending those bumper stickers, "Honk if you love Jesus"? Well, some people thought that honking praise was done so too cheaply, so they printed another version. "Tithe if you love Jesus, any goose can honk." That's true. Tithe to the church if you love Jesus. Honking does no one any good. Tithing does everyone good. Tithing pays the bills of the church. Tithing provides money to give to the needy. Tithing provides the finances we need to do the work of God. Honking produces nothing. Honking does not solve any issue. The second version, tithe if you love Jesus, any goose can honk, was closer to the reality of Scripture. Praise grows out of life with that sacrifices. What if you were to say that we all take the high road of personal sacrifice? We will give to the extent that it will actually change our lifestyles. In a nation where one family built an $8,000 dog house with a kidney-shaped swimming pool for their dog, it would make a statement. In a nation that throws away more material goods than most third world countries consume, it would be a benchmark. Such sacrificial giving demonstrates the true position of humankind. Sacrificial giving places us in an appropriate position in our relationship with God. Look in verse 14. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. David realized that God had given them the goods to give back to the work of God. David realized that God had blessed him with all these riches to give back to the work of God. He sacrificed willingly so that the house of God could be built. That, my friend, is a sacrifice worth mentioning. We are in a position of a child who uses his father's money to buy a birthday present for his father. We are a dependent people. The challenge today might lead some to ask, who are they down at that church to ask me for money? In the spirit of David, we should rather ask, who am I that I should be giving to God? It is all His in the first place. The change in attitude and the perspective comes from viewing giving as an act of praise and worship. Look in verse 20. And David said to all the congregation, now bless the Lord your God. And all the congregation blessed the Lord, God of their fathers, and bowed down their heads and worshiped the Lord and the King. We can join with these from so long ago, who through their sacrificial gifts have made it possible for us to praise God in the same way. In conclusion, once a number of years ago, a church in a similar situation as many churches today had a church member that complained that the church was always asking for money. With a complaint and a whine, the member criticized the programs of the church. The man he was complaining to told him this story. He said that once he had a son, during the months of expectancy, money was spent to prepare a nursery in the home. Money was spent on prenatal visits and on the delivery. The doctor sent a bill, and so did the hospital. As the boy started school, still more money was required. When the boy became a teenager, the money needs increased dramatically with a car, insurance, and dating. Then it all came time to send the boy to college. That required the most money of all. The man then said, then he died in an accident. Now he doesn't cost us anything. He cost us money because he was alive. So does your church? Our church costs money. Do you realize that? Our church costs money to keep the lights on, to keep the bills paid, to do the work of God. Reaching the unchurched costs money. Maintaining our church and our building, and the building to the house of the ministries, and the outreach of the church costs money. We need money because we are alive. If we want to go to a church that never needs any money, there are plenty of dead ones out there to choose from. But praise God, we don't have that problem. We have a vision and a task. The vision is before us to reach the lost, and the task is at hand. Let's rise up to give with sacrifice that yields praise to our God and King. Listen, my friend, it takes money to do the work of God. It takes money to keep the lights on. It takes money to pay the pastor. It takes money to go out and reach the lost for God. But all of that money that we bring into the church, all of that sacrificial giving we give to the church, will be rewarded when we get to heaven. All of that sacrificial giving we give to the house of God will come back to reward us in the end. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to bring this message on personal sacrifice. Lord, help us to be a church that always sees that the church needs money and needs our finances to get by and to do the work of the house of God. Help us to see that if we don't give, the church will fall, the church will fail, and that everything will fall apart. And help us to be that kind of Christian that willingly and sacrificially gives to the work of God. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen.